The writing room is a space for authors to exchange positive ideas, professional advice, and motivation. In our podcast series, you'll find interviews with authors, publishing professionals, and wider industry contacts about writing, publishing, top tips, and best practice. Helene Kist is a Dutch businesswoman who lived all over the world while growing up and for her career. Then she fell in love with a Scotsman and his country and now writes about its sometimes scary people from her garden office in Glasgow. She was awarded a spotlight as up-and-coming author at Bloody Scotland 2018 for her debut, In Servitude. It was shortlisted for the Selfies 2019 award at London Book Fair and won a silver medal at the Independent Publishers Book Awards 2019 in the USA. Stay Mad, Sweetheart is an empowering thriller set in a data science startup in Edinburgh, published by Red Dog Press. It received third prize in the inaugural Book Bloggers Novel of the Year Award 2020 and a silver medal in the Next Generation Indie Book Awards 2020. Helene has recently published her novel, What I Hid From You, a standalone suspense novel, and there are more completed and in the works. Hi, Helene. Thank you so much for joining us today at the Writing Room.
It's my absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for asking me.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. It's getting a bit chilly now. I'm in my garden office, which can get a little bit chilly. But we're trying not to turn the heating on just yet.
I know, I'm the same. Whereabouts are you calling from?
I am in Glasgow, just city centre, just south of the river. And as I say, in my little garden office today.
Oh, that's so nice. I love that. Let's just start off and I'll ask you to please introduce yourself.
Sure. So I'm Helene Kist. I'm Dutch, but I learned my English as a child living in multiple countries. So I sound a little American and that can confuse people. But yes, I am Dutch and I am the author of three novels, which are published whatever they're suspense novels, all of them. There you go. And this is the latest one, What I Hid From You, that just came out in June. It's about Radha Bakshi, who is a dentist, and she is a classic sandwich generation woman with caring for her dad, having a teenage son, trying to be the perfect wife, trying to be the perfect dentist, etc. But she ends up traumatized by the death of a patient in her chair and becomes addicted to Valium, which obviously lands her in all sorts of problems because she's not really supposed to prescribe it to herself. Yeah. And when she can no longer find a source of supply, she makes a big mistake and ends up in the menacing clutches of Glasgow's underworld, who want to blackmail her to deal through the clinic or else expose her.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. Thank you for that. Please, can you tell us a little bit about your writing and publication journey?
I am a little unlike many of the authors in that I did not grow up thinking I was going to be a writer. I did not write little short stories when I was 8 years old or anything. I have, when I was about 47, I decided on a whim to write a book. And I always thought, you know, I might have a book to my name, but it would be nonfiction because I work in business, I'm a strategy consultant, you know, and I could imagine some sort of business book. But I had a few people that I knew from school and university who published novels, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a go at it. And I really didn't expect anything to happen. So one January in 2017, I announced to my Facebook friends, I'm going to write a book this year. And really the expectation was I'll self-publish it, my mom will read it, and that'll be that, you know. Yeah. So over the course of the year, I took a James Patterson masterclass because I had to learn something and came up with this story, which is In Servitude, my first one here, also set, it's actually set next door to this one in Pollock Shields, basically my area in Glasgow, also about a woman who accidentally becomes embroiled with Glasgow's underworld. In this case, a cafe owner who ends up money laundering. She dies, and her, which is not a spoiler, it's the first sentence, and her sister comes and figures out what's happened and is now stuck in this world. So that was a book I wrote. I'd lined up a beta reader and a developmental editor just so that it wouldn't frankly suck. And they were just blown away. And then I'm like, oh, wait, it's a real book? I didn't expect that to be a real book. And I worked on it a little bit longer. tried to get an agent and the traditional route, as I read up on that and what that meant. You know, I thought I've got something valuable here, but, and this may be one of the things we talk about later, if you don't fit neatly in a box, it's very hard to break into the publishing industry. And so both of these are essentially domestic suspense, but with gangsters. And people just, you know, love the book, didn't know what to do with it. Then my second book, Stay Mad Sweetheart, is completely different. It's much closer to the type of work that I do. It's set in a data science startup in Edinburgh, and it's essentially a feminist revenge story, but it tackles the gray areas of consent and harassment and discrimination. So unlike a lot of, you know, it's kind of height of Me Too, unlike other Me Too books where there is a really clear baddie who's, you know, sexually assaulted you in the elevator, this is a lot more subtle and was really there as a response to the conversation of, you know, where is the line? And that line differs for everybody. So again, tried to sell that and people were like, oh, that's like a techno thriller and a feminist book and all sorts of things. Again, fabulous, loved it. And eventually I went straight to an indie publisher and it was published by Red Dog Press and it came out and got some fabulous response there. I got an agent for What I Hid From You, who actually had been on the judging panel for the inaugural Selfies, Selfie Award at the London Book Fair, where I was a finalist within Servitude. And she'd kind of wanted to, she thought it was great, it was a finalist and to me, but she found me a little intimidating.
Oh no.
Which is kind of ironic because we as writers are all like, ah!
Yeah, totally.
And so it wasn't until, and she was closed for submissions for Stay Mad, which I was kind of annoyed about, but I was a good girl and I didn't submit. And then so for What I Hid From You, she did take me on. And again, I mean, the issue is the publishing industry is overloaded with supply and it just didn't fit in a box neatly enough.
Yes.
So I decided, you know what, I'm just, they belong together. I'm going to self-publish together.
Yeah. And how did you find that experience?
It's quite involved. I'm very kind of financially literate and numerate and so things like Amazon algorithms and stuff, they don't scare me. And I can imagine that it is quite overwhelming for people who don't have that experience or understanding. You know, I kind of work in this field a little bit, not in marketing though. And so I think the challenge is that there is no magic bullet for formula, for marketing. There's no magic formula and you have to find your own way. In my case, you know, I've been around since about 2018 when I was chosen as an up and coming author at Bloody Scotland, got a spotlight, people started to take notice. And then I'm very active on Twitter. So I just make a lot of noise.
Yeah, exactly.
And for me, I'm writing the stories that I want to read. And I'm just being a little bit stubborn, I guess, and just wanting to just write the stories that I want to read. And obviously the readers are responding very well to them. So the readers want to read them. The industry is just a little bit of a block there.
Good question for you here, I think. What is one piece of advice you wish you had known at the start of your journey?
I think it's a little bit depends on what you're trying to achieve. You know, as I mentioned, for me, it was a bit of a midlife crisis. It followed a year in which I wanted to do acrobatics. And I did some stand-up comedy and I was just kind of pushing myself to do weird and wacky things. So, you know, it is not necessarily my ambition. It would be lovely to you know, be so successful that I don't have to do anything else. But I think it's important to understand really why you're doing this. And because for me, it wasn't about necessarily, I mean, again, would be nice being, you know, the headline book in the bookstore, then I played to my desires, which was to have a book out there, to have people read it. And to see what they thought of it. And so I was quite impatient. And I think what you need to learn is that it takes an enormous amount of patience to be in this industry. I didn't adhere to genre, you know, tropes, which again, if you're wanting to be successful, I would recommend that you do. And then maybe once you have your pedestal, you can start experimenting more. And I also think that you might want to be careful about your debut. So if you put it out there because you're impatient and but still have this ambition of being traditionally published, know that the publishers do really like a debut. And if you've self-published your first one, you might have blown your chances there. Again, this isn't something that, you know, I knew at the time, nor am I particularly bothered about it. But again, for somebody who's if their ambition is to be traditionally published, then that's something to be mindful of.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thank you. What is your writing schedule like in terms of every day? And also, do you plot a lot or do you just kind of write and see where it goes?
So I have a day job, which isn't an everyday job. I'm a strategy consultant, so I work on project. When I work on a project, it's for, let's say, 4 months, and it's very intensive and I can't do anything other than that. But then I have downtime in between projects, and that's when I write. And I'm sadly a terrible procrastinator, and I spend way too much time on social media. But where, you know, when I'm in the, it takes a while to get started. So I am a massive plotter. My author friends, they tease me because my outlines are practically a whole book. They're basically the summary of a book. They're like 14,000 words long and they've got everything in them. And I know exactly what's going to happen. And every little breadcrumb of foreshadowing is in there. And so that might take a month, and it's great fun because it's problem solving. And I love problem solving. It's what I do in work as well. So it's you know, this creative and the how do I make it even more tense and what else do I and what else and what else and how does this work? And it's puzzling and it's great. And then a lot of people who don't like plotting then say, well, the writing's boring, but it's not, because it's a different kind of problem solving in that every chapter, let's say I know 3 bullet points of what needs to happen. But you still need to find the flow of how you get from point A to point B whilst maintaining the character in the way that they exist, etc. So once I start writing, I would say I average about 1200 a day. I'm very slow. And I do better when I'm in my office here than when I'm in the house as well. Yeah. But then sometimes it's cold. So. Yeah. And then towards the end of the book, you know, it speeds up basically. Mm. The art is a bit slow.
Do you ever find that, you know, plotting it all out so much, do you always find that you can kind of get exactly that down on paper, or do your characters ever kind of move in a way that you weren't expecting and you're like, no, please come back over here?
It's very rare that I would do something different. I may add a chapter just to add a little bit of color. I mean, my first drafts, as a consequence of plotting, are very complete. But the second draft will be more around, rather than making the story work, it'll be more around bringing depth and color to it. So it's almost like, you know, you've got the outline is the skeleton, and then you have the first draft is the body, and then the second draft is you add the hair and the eye color and everything else. And that's kind of how I layer these things. It is rare for them to go off on their own. They do make me laugh. You know, because I do have quite a bit of humor in my books. It's not all tension, probably because I can't handle the tension.
I think it's important to do that.
Break it a little bit, but they'll come up with, you know, I'll be writing and dialogue just flies, right? Dialogue is fast, the rest of it is slow. And then just something will come out and some of my favorite characters, I've got Suki in Stay Mad Sweetheart, she's just a blast. So much so that I put her back into another book, which is currently on submission.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I love that when characters just, you can't let them go.
Yeah.
They come back. Oh, that's amazing.
I've got little Easter eggs in all of them. So if you read, you know, if you read this one, then she walks past with the dog in this one. This one's got a Hollywood actor who has, you know, an issue with inappropriate behavior. And he comes back here. But not, you know, just as a kind of passerby, a bit of a plot point. So, and then I think the boyfriend of this one is the plumber in this one.
Oh, wow.
If you really paid attention, you see all that, but it's mostly for me. But some people have, I mean, obviously when it's a named person, and that's just fun.
That's great. Yeah, that is really fun. We'd love to know, what are your highlights and challenges so far in your writing career? And how did you deal with any challenges?
The highlight is almost every day, you know, when I just have my author friends and the reader friends on Twitter. Obviously getting to be on stage at Bloody Scotland with my first book was incredible. And the funny thing there was they ask you to submit. They have these, you know, Crime in the Spotlight is basically you're the opening act for the big act. And you get 3 minutes on stage before the panel and you can apply for it. And I was still in two minds whether I was going to self-publish or not. And then I decided if I get this, then I'll have to self-publish because I'll need a book. But I applied thinking, you know, Bloody Scotland likes to be an international crime festival. And I'm guessing they don't get that many foreign submissions, although I'm local, obviously I lived in Scotland for 20 years. And on top of that, it had the C word as part of a joke. And I thought, if I submit this, they're just going to love a Dutch woman swearing on stage. And what I didn't realize at the time is who the audience would be. And I'm standing there and there are 400 basically gray haired ladies, mostly in the audience. And I'm just bricking it. But thankfully, because it was part of a joke, they laughed and it all went well. So that obviously is a big highlight. But, you know, every time I get to launch a new book, every time I go to a festival. I've just been to Bloody Scotland again this weekend. I went to Harrogate in the summer and you meet all these people that you're engaging with. For me, this is very much a social activity.
Yeah.
Which is necessary because the writing itself is really solitary. Yeah, and I'm very good at that.
Yeah. And the challenges?
Yeah, well, the challenges is obviously the disappointment of getting rejected, even when I had an agent. And I'm, you know, I'm transparent about it. It's a numbers game, right? What I have learned to cope with that is two things. One is rejection's the norm. You know, if you get any in the industry just because of the oversupply, and I use kind of industry terms, but it's because I'm a strategy consultant and I look at this industry and I think it's really dysfunctional and I'd really like to fix it. But there is an oversupply and therefore rejection is the norm. And if you get anything else, then you're doing well. Yeah. I'm a little bit of a control freak. So, you know, I just want to be master of my own destiny to the extent I can. And I think when you have reviews that aren't necessarily glowing, what I always tell people to shrug it off is, you know, I don't like mangoes. Most people love mango. They just adore mango. And I just really, it tastes like stomach bile to me. So you can serve me the most beautiful fruit salad, but if there's a bit of mango in it, I'm just not going to like it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean your salad's not nice. It just means that you fed me mango and that was not on. And this is how I view, you know, people for whom books don't really hit home or they just really despise them. I said, well, you know, you ordered a fruit salad that had mango in it and you didn't know.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's not a reflection on my book.
Yeah, that's really useful. I think that's great. And I think it's really important to kind of put it all into perspective and understand that there is a silent majority that aren't shouting either way, that have enjoyed your book and just moved on to the next one.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
You can see it in the sales numbers, which is also the fun bit of being self-published, is that you see what works, what doesn't work, and when people are, you know, when it's taken off and when it's really not.
Yeah, especially with your job as well. If you kind of work like that anyway, it's really like useful for you to analyze.
Yeah, I try not to take it too personally. And again, I think for people for whom this has been the dream forever, that is a lot harder than for somebody like me who just kind of went, oh, I can do this. You know, what fun.
Yeah, totally. We were wondering, what are you looking forward to next?
Well, I'm looking forward to my submissions for my fourth novel being successful. And if not, then, you know, it'll be what it'll be. But I thought this time I would be a little bit more of a good girl and write a little bit more with a genre. So it's a locked room murder mystery. It's a very contemporary one. It's in a residence gym of an apartment building in Edinburgh. So it's city center. It's not an island. It's not a mountain. City center, which makes it very challenging. And I also have impossible crimes. So people just, they fall down dead and you don't know how. So it's not just a who done it and a why done it, but it's also a how done it, multiple murders. So it's very heralding back to the golden era of actual, you know, actual locked room, not just a close group. But I couldn't help myself. And you know, it's quite funny. So it's actually veered a little bit towards the Knives Out kind of tongue-in-cheek thing where it's still suspenseful, it's still stressful, you don't know how it happened, but there is this undercurrent of humor. So we'll see. You know, I'm hoping that the success of Knives Out might convince people that this is a commercial proposition.
Yeah, totally. And I think as well, it's so nice to read a book that does have suspense or mystery or anything like that, and to have that lighter side in it. I think it really kind of has a nice balance, and it allows the story to propel, but for you to enjoy the characters and have a nice escape read almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different kind of read. Again, you know, you don't have to be on the edge of your chair all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I blame Suki, the character I mentioned here. She's just a riot, and she started making it funny. And then I thought, okay,
we'll go with it.
So from that perspective, yes, she did take over. But, you know, that would be I'd like to see what happens there. And then, you know, if that gets taken, oftentimes you might get a multiple book deal, and then you have this golden opportunity of actually speaking to an editor and asking what they want rather than writing whole books. So I'm just very intrigued, because now I've tried so many different things, and for me it's fascinating, right? Because I love understanding industries and how things work and what people's incentives are. And so in addition to a writing journey, it's just an industry knowledge journey that I find fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And whereabouts can people find you if they want to follow you on websites, newsletters, social media, anything like that?
Yeah, so I do have a website, which is quite static, I have to say. It's helenekiss.com. I have a newsletter, which I am terrible at maintaining. And that I think about that. It's like, why am I so hesitant? And it's because I don't think the news is big enough. You know, it's called a newsletter, and I feel I should have big news. And then if I have big news, you've probably already seen it somewhere else. But also I feel the inbox is quite intrusive. Whereas, you know, Twitter, I'm just shouting at the world and it doesn't really matter. And you can either see it or not see it and react or not react. But I feel, you know, I feel a bit vulnerable with the email. And I know that this is, you know, what I'm meant to be doing a lot more of, in terms of, you know, again, what have you learned? You're supposed to be maintaining this fabulous newsletter. And I do have people signed up to it, but I never feel that what I'm writing is interesting enough to go into your inbox. And I guess I need to work on that. I'm primarily on Twitter. I'm on Instagram as well. I'm on Facebook as well, but most of my content will be on Twitter.
Okay, great. And we'll link everything below. So if anybody wants to follow you or ask any questions, then they can do that.
Absolutely. I'm very responsive. And also, you know, at events, I always tweet what I'm wearing. So that, and I always wear something of, you know, that's visible from afar, not neon, but because I'm very happy to be approached, and I just love meeting people. So
yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. I think that's everything.
Thank you. This has been great fun. It's lovely getting to know you too.
Oh, it's lovely to have you. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Writing Room podcast. To see more interviews like this, please follow the podcast on your preferred streaming service, and you can join our community Facebook page at The Writing Room, or by using the link in the description below.